Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
Wow, sorry, we're having a clapping contest in here. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks so much for tuning in again tonight. This show is for all you songwriters out there and musicians and performers who are just trying to figure stuff out here in Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we don't know anything. This is our ninth year on the air, and we're still just trying to figure this out. We're out there slinging songs just like you are. So what we are able to do is bring brilliant people in here.
Yep.
Talented people, and pick their brains, learn from their brilliance, and give you the opportunity to join in as well.
Yeah, and you can do that by going to Facebook, facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. You can also hit us up on Twitter, @TheMusicRowShow, and the conversation just started. There you go.
Did it? I can't check now because you gave me this iPad. And
I know.
So now I can't get in the conversation.
He's very uncomfortable with new things. Just freaks him out a little bit.
It does. But hey, what a show we have tonight.
Yeah.
First up is Carnival Publishing songwriter and recording artist Haley Witters in hour one.
Absolutely. Then we're going to be talking with hit songwriter and recording artist Bill Lloyd in hour two.
That's
going
right.
to be fun. So,
be
Scott, I saw that you've been trying out some new equipment lately.
Well, yes, Hino, I have. How nice and totally non-scripted of you to ask. As you know, I play gigs around the Southeast during my day gig,
right,
you know, when I'm
right.
out traveling. And my portable amp PA, I kind of killed it.
You did.
I did. So I started looking at some different options, and I was talking to the Bose rep, and he was nice enough to let me borrow one of their L1 compact PAs. Yeah. So I've been taking that out and about, and now this is not a paid commercial. I've not even been asked to say anything about this, but I really wanted to say that this is a cool little unit, and it packs some serious sound quality. I mean, it was actually much cooler than what I was using. I hate to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but now you know I'm an idiot with most technology.
I would say that's a good general statement that covers a whole lot of subjects.
It covers a lot. I'm not a fan of lots of cool buttons and gadgets like you are.
Yep.
But the Bose L1 Compact is super, super simple. I mean, you plug, play, sound awesome. That's it. And I've used it in several different applications, and we'll be testing it out into a semi-outdoor venue here in a couple of weeks. So far I dig it. I mean, it's easy to pack in, about 5 minutes to set up, and really provides some killer sound and for a solo acoustic performer.
Yeah, and you know, and I've heard it. It sounds great, and it's, believe me, if Scott can set it up, even a trained monkey could do it.
That's
I'm
right.
Pretty
Thank
sure
you.
About that.
Thank you, Hino.
You're welcome.
You can find them at Bose.com by searching for portable PA. It's worth a look. It's worth a listen. And enough of that. Hino, tell the listeners about this lovely lady we have here.
I'm so happy to. Absolutely. We get to visit with one of the fastest rising young singer-songwriters here in Music City right now, recording artist Haley Witters. Martina McBride just cut one of her songs called Low All Afternoon, and her song City Girl is going to be featured on TV's Nashville this coming week.
Was it this week or?
It's this coming week.
This coming week. Yeah.
Okay. That's exciting.
And she's got a brand new album out called Black Sheep, which is awesome. I listened
thank
to a
you.
Whole bunch of it today.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to absolutely love her. Haley Witters, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Hi. Thank you.
Yay. Wow. And I'm so sorry we're out of time, but thank you for coming in. This was great. You were wonderful. Okay, let's start the interview with the one thing that all of America wants to know about Haley.
Oh, God.
Okay?
They're
all very excited that you're here.
Yeah.
So what is up with your Aunt Tina dancing on bars?
Let's talk
about this.
God, I wish she was listening. She would love this. My Aunt Tina loves to dance on bars.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
every show that I had back in my hometown, she came out in her cutoff cowgirl her cutoff jean shorts and mm-hmm. her cowgirl boots and hat, and would get on the bar and start dancing.
She'd have a shirt on, though.
Oh, she would have a shirt on.
Shirt.
God,
okay.
if she had it her way, she wouldn't have a shirt
okay,
on.
Okay, good, good.
But
okay.
she had a shirt on, and she would just get on the bar and dance until she got kicked out.
Nice.
So she kind of got a reputation, and people started, I think, coming to my shows just to see
To see Aunt Tina.
Wow.
Yeah.
They wore t-shirts that said Aunt Tina.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God, everyone in Cedar Rapids knows Crazy Aunt Tina.
Wow.
Nice.
Hey, Scott, total non sequitur, but I was thinking the other day, we should get a bar for the studio here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we should do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be
right.
Cool.
Why, you want your Aunt Tina up here, or your
no,
Aunt?
Your Aunt probably not. No. No. No.
But what that made me think of was talk about your musical encouragement that your family provided you in Cedar Rapids and as a young girl.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just so supportive. They've never, my parents have been so supportive and just never questioned me doing this. And mm-hmm. I think that's so important because I never doubted myself, you know, having their support and them never telling me to get a real job or whatever, you know. And I was really naive. I didn't have any idea like what it meant to move to Nashville and do music because I didn't really grow up in a super musical family. And so I was just young and totally just starry-eyed when I came down here for the first time and was like, I'm going to move to Nashville and be a country music singer. And
you're what, 16, 17?
Yeah, I was like, when I first came down here, I was probably like 15.
Okay.
And just down on the bars on Broadway, the honky-tonks, and staying out here and going to the Opry and being backstage, I was just totally floored by it. And I'd always loved country music, and I had this vague idea of just what it was to be in it, and I wanted to be in it. And for my parents to pretty much let me come down here and figure it out is pretty cool.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, they're awesome. So.
So you mentioned that you did come from a very small town. I think it was, what, 600 people or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you think that environment, that small town environment helped your music or how did it influence your music?
There's things you love and hate about a small town. I love just the community and like everyone's kind of got each other's back, you
right,
know?
Right.
The downside is everyone kind of knows everybody's business. But yeah. I mean, they're so supportive to me and always come out to my shows and just like, you know, hometown support is the best support. And I don't know. It's kind of fun. You see like the stories and I feel like, you know, everyone's kind of from a small town to a certain extent and they're all kind of a little bit the same, you know? And when I'm writing, you know, a story, whether it's about my small town or, you know, someone else's, they all kind of have the same story to them, you know, the characters.
Yeah.
You can kind of see Aunt Tina everywhere.
We were hoping you were going to bring her with us.
I should have.
Honestly.
Yeah. I should have.
Tell Aunt Tina we're disappointed.
In fact, we can reschedule if this is not a good time.
Okay. Let me call her up.
Okay. Just saying.
Yeah. So you started saying you moved to town at a very young age. What kind of musical education were your first few years here? And what did soaking up things like Townes Van Zandt do for you creatively?
Man, I think just Townes, especially people like Townes and Steve Earle. I loved listening to Steve Earle. And they're all kind of really dark, you know. And so I think people probably worried about me a lot. They're like, "Where's your darkness come from?" But there's this Townes Van Zandt quote that I love, and he's like, "That's not sad. That's hopeful or something. Hopelessness is sad." And so I don't know. I just think that like. It's all a way of looking at sad songs and darkness. To me, he always just seemed like he was telling the truth.
Okay.
You know?
He was like reporting almost.
Yeah, yeah. He's just stating the facts, telling it how it is. But, yeah, and I liked a lot of him. And when I moved here initially, I mean, back home in Iowa, I was always just listening to what was on the radio. Mm-hmm. And my grandma gave me her old record collection and, you know, Keith Whitley and Loretta Lynn and Johnny Cash, you know. Mm-hmm. But when I moved down here, I got really into the Music Row thing and the songwriters and going out to shows and figuring out who was who and who'd written what and all that. I got really into like a lot of the Americana stuff, you know, Patty Griffin and Gillian Welch. And so it's good. I feel like I've covered a lot of ground. I've kind of had to find music my own way, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really grow up with my dad listening to old, you know, whatever records. I kind of have had to explore it myself and figure out what I like.
Right on.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, you know what we'd like? Well, we'd love to hear a song from you.
Why don't you ask her another question while I do a little bit of mind the guy behind the curtain.
Oh, yeah.
Question, talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. All right. Well, when you first moved to town, what was for you the most unexpected aspect of life as somebody pursuing the music business here in town?
Huh. I don't know. I mean, it was all kind of just foreign to me, you know? I mean, before I moved here, I didn't even know there really was a music business. Like,
really?
I didn't know how much all went into it. And now it's just like there's so many. I mean, you have your publishers and your A&R and your managers and your, you know, agents and all this. There's so many aspects of it. And I just, it was all kind of foreign to me, I guess. Hmm. You know, I just came down here. I just wrote songs and thought that you'd just play the Bluebird and people would find out about you.
Well,
you
that's know? How it happens on the TV
that's
show.
That's how it happens on Nashville.
Right,
absolutely.
And that's what I thought too, you know.
Yeah. And then the next day they come by with that big check.
Right,
and
the,
say,
the big
hey,
poster
congratulations.
Size. And the next thing you know, you're huge. You're
yeah. huge and every, yeah. yeah.
And then you have Anthony playing Resonator for
exactly.
you. Introduce nice. This this gentleman here with us.
This is Anthony Olympia.
Hey, Anthony.
He's been on the road with me a lot this summer. He's just the best harmonizer, and he plays
one
mean
of the bearded,
resonator.
The gang of bearded musicians.
The gang,
that you
one of the
with.
Many bearded musicians that play with me, but yeah.
We'll do a quick strum on that and make okay. sure that producer Logan's hearing it.
I hear it. There we go.
All right.
Cool.
All right. Play us a tune.
Yeah, we're going to play Black Sheep.
Nice.
The title
sweet.
Track of the album.
Yeah.
So, ready? A little black sheep looked up one day. Said, am I the only one who looks this way? Yeah, am I the only one who wants to cut loose? That hole in the fence gonna jump right through. You say I'm bad, and maybe you're right, but when I'm gone, you won't look so wide. Go on and tell that little Bo Peep, don't come looking for this black sheep. Well, you cast me out, turned me away. Ah, 'cause I say what you wanna say. Black sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo! Yes. Very nice. I love that.
Thank you.
Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we're definitely coming back with more of Haley Witters.
And we want to remind everybody that this segment was brought to you by our friends at Toyota of Cool Springs. I'm going to tell you something.
What?
Tell me. I was there Thursday getting the car worked on.
Yeah.
And a gal came in and was looking at cars with her dog.
Really?
And it was just like a shepherd of some sort. Mm. And the dog just sat underneath the table while they did the deal. Uh-huh. And every now and then, the girls that, you know, the receptionist girls
yeah.
would play ball with it. I mean, it's just one of those cool kickback play. I mean, yeah, you're buying a car or whatever, but it just, you're just hanging out. It was so cool. And I was kind of doing some work on the computer, and George came around and said, hey, and visited for a while. So I've never been in a dealership where I feel comfortable to just kind of hang out.
Just hang out,
I was in my boxer shorts, and it was just really, really comfortable.
Yeah, they were uncomfortable.
Well, but, you know, they might have been. Yeah. They might have
been. Well, George, you mentioned George. He's the owner. Go see him when you go there. He'll take great care of you. You can find him on the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. We're here with Haley Witters, and we're going to be back in just a few minutes on the Music Row Show. Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's City Girl. Our guest here to this hour is Haley Witters, and that's off her brand new project called Black Sheep. And that's the song you're going to hear on Nashville next week. Nashville, the TV
this
show.
Week.
Yes.
This week.
This Wednesday.
Yeah. So you'll have to keep an eye out for that.
So, okay, and your the album is called Black Sheep. There it is. Right
which
there.
You just played a second ago. She played the title cut. I'm guessing there's an interesting story behind that song.
Actually, there's not.
Really?
Awesome.
There's not. Well,
we love that.
This is the best interview ever.
Ever. We love that. Yeah.
It's okay. We weren't really going to ask.
Make one
no,
up.
No, I know. I need to make up a really cool story for that song. But I was writing with my friend Adam Wright, and he's a great. You know Adam?
No.
Oh, I love Adam. The Wrights. Actually, Adam and Shannon both wrote City Girl.
Okay.
But they're just this badass husband-wife duo, and they're two good like people I really like to write with. And I went in, and I just had the title of Black Sheep, and I guess I kind of felt like the black sheep a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of makes me uncomfortable to do what everyone else is doing. And I just kind of was talking to him a little bit about it, and we wrote the song in, like, an hour and a half.
Wow.
So it came out really fast, and I love it. I think it just is kind of this anthem for doing things your own way and just not apologizing for it, you know?
It's a good song. Now, my two favorite songs on the CD were both solo writes for you.
Oh, cool.
Late Bloomer
yeah.
and Low All Afternoon.
Yep.
The thing that popped out to me in both songs is, and I noticed it more in the solo writes, is the creative phrasing. You do some really, really cool phrasing things. Is that just a natural Haley thing, or is that inspired by some stuff you've learned while you've been here?
I think it's probably just a natural Haley thing. It's funny because I feel like a lot of times people will correct my phrasing,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I'm in a co-write or if I'm singing a demo or something. So I think it's probably a natural Haley thing. I don't know if it's always good or bad, but
yeah,
I think
good.
It's definitely
don't let them correct
my own thing. I know. But that's cool. Yeah. I love writing by myself. I don't get to do it as much as I like to. You know, you just kind of get busy. Nashville can be very much a co-write town. But mm-hmm. I definitely, my publisher over here, Emily, she's going to talk in a little bit. She tries to make time in my calendar every once in a while for me to just have a week and try and do some of that.
Well, and if I may, that kind of is a great segue to Emily Schiraldi, who's here with us. With Carnival Publishing. Hi.
Hi.
Hey,
Emily. Thanks for having us.
How important is it to you as a publisher that your writers can solo write, that they're able to do that as well as successfully co-write, and why?
Yeah, writing by yourself is definitely something that's, I call it the school of Frank Liddell. Frank is the owner of Carnival, and he just kind of instilled in us, and we kind of pass along to our writers, that you don't ever want to lose your voice and lose what you have to say. Co-writing is really important. You building relationships, and you do find those people that you write really well with. But that being said, it's really important, we think, to still be able to sit down by yourself and write a song. And some of my favorite songs that get turned in are turned in at like 3:30 in the morning, and you know that they're like up because they have to write that song, not a co-write at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right,
you know,
right. So. Or they're just coming in from the bar and remembered that they forgot to send it to you.
Yeah.
Great ideas.
I'm sure that's not it. That's not it.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, Haley, I was playing, as I said earlier, your CD, mm-hmm. and one of your songs, Get mm-hmm. Around, mm-hmm. was playing, and my wife, again, was in the room or walked through the room. That song made her gasp.
Really?
Like,
oh yeah, shock value.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
exactly.
That has
so,
a high shock value.
And I just thought, well, that was really cool that you got that reaction. But I'm just thinking about the courage to write a song like that, where the character is not necessarily, you know, what you would want to go saying about
right,
yourself.
Yeah.
And I just see me only an artist can write that song, because you never would write that and then try to pitch that to somebody. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Think. Talk about writing that song and having the courage to be non-complimentary to yourself.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. I wrote that song with Stephanie Lambring, who is another carnival writer. And
right.
It was our first time writing together, and it was funny because we were watching like crime scene like videos on YouTube, and mm-hmm. then like after an hour we're like, hey, we should probably try and write something, so let's get to writing.
dum dum
and we just like started popping out like Get Around and like the word daddy issues, and we're like, oh, we know that girl, you know. And so we kind of were like, let's create this story about this girl, because everyone kind of knows that girl, you know.
Yeah.
And the way people look at her, and you know. And so we just started writing the story about her and turned it in. I love writing with Stephanie because she will go there with me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She's not afraid to go there. And so we turned it in, and our publishers were just like, I think same like as your wife. They were like, this is awesome. Like,
okay.
This is great. And so we started playing it out, and we always get that reaction. Like, one of us will play it and we'll kind of make jokes because we, believe it or not, we don't sleep around town. But
well, the TV show says differently.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No, but we kind of get that shock value.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily us, but talking about this character. And I was in a label meeting once, and someone told me like, yeah, but no one's going to say that. No girl's going to say that. And I was like, well, I'll say it. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
I feel like there is a girl that is like, a girl like this exists. And I
right.
feel like she needs a story. And I feel like people, when they hear it, they are taken back by it, but they know that girl too. And, you know, it's just, it's real. So I feel like people empathize with the girl a little bit.
Well, Emily, going back to you, what about pitching a song like that, or a song where the character is not necessarily a nice person, or, you know, you in the old days you'd have songs that were, you know, the guy's talking about killing somebody or something like that, and that just doesn't really happen much anymore. The singer always comes out looking great.
Yeah.
So what do you do with a song like that when you get it? Can you pitch it?
Yeah, we still do. There's definitely more. It seems even in recent years, there's more pushback on songs like that than there. I think it's like gotten a little bit harder to get those ones through. But that being said, we're not scared. I think that it's important in publishing for your company to have an identity. And mm-hmm. I think that's kind of our identity. And people know, like, when they need that song, they can come to us, or they know that that's what they're going to get. And, you know, it's not, maybe not always the most popular, but I think that there's longevity to it, and that people remember those songs. So when we do get those cut, it's a victory for sure.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, we should get another song. We're
going to
trade
that.
Places with Emily and Anthony. And while that's happening, when do you decide to write an idea on your own? I mean,
Well, I'm going to play Low All Afternoon, and that kind of is a good example for this. I don't know. I mean, there's times when I sit down and I try and force myself to write, and usually nothing really comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But this song, for example, I was leaving a demo session. It was like 3 p.m., which is usually nap time for me.
Right, for
it's a good
everybody.
Hour for nap time. And I got the line, "Weeping Willow, don't cry on your pillow," just kind of popped into my head. And I was like, that's kind of interesting. And I went home and just started playing. And the word ultimatum came out. And I was like, yeah, I know this story. I'd had a friend who was seeing a guy, and come to find out he had a girlfriend. and the girlfriend gave him an ultimatum, which is always a great idea, ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Give an
that always
ultimatum.
Works out.
That
love
always
that.
Works.
Always works out.
And anyway, so I kind of just built this story around, you know, my friend and just her being the other woman. And so, and this song, you know, I didn't sit down and write it all in one session. That's the glory of being able to write on your own. You can kind of take your time with it. And mm-hmm. I would write a little bit and go hike or get outside and do something and then come back with a fresh, you know, fresh mm-hmm. freshness to it. So, yeah. And cool. Here we go. It's all right. Low All Afternoon.
She gave him an ultimatum, and she's wearing his ring now. It's a hard pill to swallow, he's a hard act to follow, and there's no consolation prize for the other woman. You're the one he wouldn't commit to for more. A home was that long ago when he was going home with you. He's tying the knot and you're tying one on. He got what he wanted from the one he didn't want. He's ready to settle down now that he's messed around with you. Weeping willow.
Why don't we take a break?
Let's
We're going to be
that.
Back with more of Haley Witters, her new album, Black Sheep. And what's your website? How do people find out about you?
HaleyWitters.com.
W-H-I-T-T-E-R-S.
Yep. H-A-I-L-E-Y.
We'll be back in just a few minutes on The Music Bro Show.
Thank you.
Right. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. Scott's over here.
I love this song.
Miming the lyrics. That's a song called Late Bloomer. Yes. Our guest here is Haley Witter and Witters, excuse me, and that is a track off of her brand new project called Black Sheep. And that is a great song. And you played a song called
Low All Afternoon.
No, the one before. We were talking about your brother during the break.
Yes.
And you have a song
yes.
called One More Hell,
uh-huh.
which is about your brother's passing and all that. And it kind of just reminded me of a conversation I was having with my daughter about, you know, when you write an autobiographical song, it doesn't always need to stick really closely to the truth mm-hmm. because, you know, you might get a better song that way. Mm-hmm. So talk about that thought and that theory and how you applied that to that particular song.
Yeah. The second verse is pretty spot on. Like, my dad really did want to kick God's ass. So that's pretty true. But the second verse I kind of pulled. It wasn't necessarily me riding around with my brother, but it was like my cousins and stuff, mm-hmm. you know? So there's a little bit of story there, just like pulling from other people. But I agree. I think that, you know, it doesn't necessarily need to be your exact storyline or whatever. But
might be inspired by
it. Could be inspired by something. Yeah.
And so because you like to write character songs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think the truth is the easier wanted to write, you know, like I still have yet to probably write a really good story song that's completely made out of my imagination. I feel like John Prine's probably really good at that.
Yeah.
Like, he's really good with stories, and you don't know if that really happened or if he made that up. But I think that can say a lot about a really great writer, you know, to be able to pull something from the air and create this story about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Very good. Well, we just had Emily here talking too, and other than the fact that they signed you.
Mm-hmm.
What makes Carnival a good fit for where you are as a writer currently, creatively, mm-hmm. and how have they helped you grow as far as the whole process for you?
Still, like, the thing that made me want to sign with Carnival in the first place, and still to this day, is just the creative freedom. Like, I can just be myself and say whatever I want to say, and I can come in and write a song in Chinese. And if that's what I was feeling that day, they'd be happy. You know, they'd let me do
Chinese?
That. I haven't yet.
Okay,
but
just checking.
You know, I think there's a lot of pressure in this town to write to certain things, and
no,
I've never.
Come on,
yeah,
come
I know.
On.
Believe it or not, but Carnival has always just made me feel like I could be myself and write whatever I wanted to write.
Okay.
And I really, you know, I'm thankful for that because as it's my first publishing deal and I might have been in a different place now had I been, you know, somewhere else where the pressure was to write for radio, you know.
True, true.
So I'm really grateful to be there.
Very good. Well, let's take one last break. We're going to be back, and we'll try to squeeze one more song.
Oh, we'd love that.
Out of Haley Witters. HaleyWitters.com
yep.
is the website, and that's HaleyWitters. You're listening to the Music Row Show. Stick around.
.com. All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Haley Witters, and that is called Black Sheep. That happens to be the title cut of her brand new album, Black Sheep. Really good. Been listening to it all day. It's really awesome. And we're kind of running out of time, so we only have a couple questions left for you.
Yeah.
So
I want to ask something about, if I can, since
I don't know,
you
can
just
you
held up the
yeah.
CD, having recorded several songs with Derek Wells, who
yes.
produced this for you.
Yes.
I can honestly say that I've never liked him. Never. He's such a humorless chap. No, seriously, what did he pull out of you in the studio and tell us the best parts of the recording process with him?
Yeah.
Kind of at the helm.
Well, it was really cool. Like, Derek, he played on a few like demo sessions of mine early mm-hmm. on. And I was playing a show one night, and I mean, you know, Derek, he is so amazing, and he's playing on everything in this town. And he came out to one of my shows and just was really interested in like what I was doing, and took my publishers out the next day and was like, hey, I want to work with her. Can I do her next project? And I was kind of just surprised. Like, I did not see that coming. And I think the world of Derek. So for him to come forward and want to work with me, it was pretty big. And he really made me feel comfortable just doing my thing. Like, you know, he didn't push me into anything. It was all like, hey, you do what comes naturally. And that was really cool for me, especially my first album, to be able to come in to these these sessions with these great studio musicians, and for him to be like, you do your thing, we'll follow you, like, because that's cool, you know, what you're doing is cool. So I think him giving me that confidence was awesome.
So
that's
no
cool.
Fixing your phrasing and that
no
kind of
fix
thing.
No, he loved my phrasing, so it was awesome. Right. Yeah,
good deal. Well, we mentioned earlier you got a song coming up on next week's Nashville City Girl. Just out of curiosity, how you got the song to them and how that all happened?
I don't even know. I think Courtney Gregg at Carnival maybe sent that to Frankie at Nashville. But that song, Shannon and Adam wrote that song. And I've always loved City Girl, and I felt like I could relate to it coming from Iowa.
Absolutely.
Like,
and the video is really good, too.
We made a video for it. But I think Courtney pitched it to her, and she just liked it. I guess I'm curious to see how this week on Wednesday. Yeah.
And then Low All Afternoon just got picked up by Martina.
Yes, she's recorded it.
How exciting is that?
Yeah, it's super exciting.
That's great. Well, yeah. I think there's great things coming for you, and congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
And come back and see us.
I would love to. Thank you for having me.
Good. Yeah. And Anthony, you're wonderful.
Anthony, thank you, Anthony.
So beautiful harmonies.
We should just go ahead and reiterate. Website, HaleyWitters.com.
Yes.
The socials, where are you at?
At HaleyWitters. At HaleyWitters on everything. Yep.
Sweet. Well, there you go. That Very makes good. It easy enough. And you can buy this great CD at your website and where
iTunes.
Else?
iTunes and on my website.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. And we've got another great hour coming up.
maybe. He hasn't shown up yet. So.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. Why don't you stay tuned
and see if we just chain Haley to the chair.
Yeah, we might not let her leave. Because we're supposed to have Bill Lloyd on the show here in the next few minutes. So it's a cliffhanger. Come back to the Music Row Show and find out what happens. Strong!